grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you joys beyond understanding. Pour into our hearts such love for you that loving you above all things, we may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reading.
First reading is a reading from the first book of Kings, the 19th chapter. Then the Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also you shall anoint Jeru, son of Nimshah, as king over Israel, and you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place." So he set out from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing. There were 12 yokes of oxen ahead of him, and he was with the 12th. Elisha passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He left the oxen and ran after Elisha and said, "Let me kiss my mother, my father and my mother, and I will follow you." Then Elisha said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" He returned from following him, took the yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. Using the equipment from the oxen, he boiled their flesh and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he set out and followed Elisha and became his servant. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 16 responsefully. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, "You are my Lord, my good above all other. All my delight is upon the godly that are in the land, those who know a certain name in the people. But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied. Their libations of blood will not offer, nor will take the names of their God upon my lips. O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot. My boundaries and pleasant land. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night. Let the Lord always keep before me, for he is at my right hand. I shall not fail. My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also rests in hope. For you will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see the pit. For you show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are the pleasures forevermore. Glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
The reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians, 5th chapter. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to that of the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposites to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with the passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 9th chapter. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not welcome him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the good news, the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
When Jesus' disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume this Samaritan village?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. The scripture today calls us to stand up and announce that we do not follow a warrior Jesus. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, the Messiah whom the angels announced to the shepherds, peace on earth, goodwill to everyone. The Jesus that we follow is the one who would greet his apostles after the resurrection with that word over and over again, "My peace I leave with you, peace I give to you." The scripture lessons today promise us the freedom to stand in peace with God, with one another, and with all things on heaven, in heaven and on earth. The path of Christian discipleship is a path of peace. If Jesus liked country western music, his favorite song today would be, the chorus goes like this. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. The chorus is, "I've got a lead foot on the accelerator with the rear view mirror ripped off, and I'm looking down that road. There ain't no looking back, because I'm never coming back." Oh, wait a minute. "I got a lead foot on the accelerator with the rear view mirror ripped off. I'm heading down this road. I ain't never looking back." Jesus had his face set. He was like the horses at Del Mar with blinkers on, focused on the road ahead, not being able to look to the right or to the left. Jesus was focused on that narrow path of peace. No dissuading him, no veering to the right or to the left. There was nothing that was going to keep him from that destiny, the destiny that was Jerusalem and that was the cross. Jesus was on the path of surrender, the path of the suffering servant. This is the path that was blazed by the Prince of Peace. His feet marked out the road of peace, the good news of peace. The angels had announced peace at his birth, but it was not a peace through strength or power or might or right. This is the peace that is not gained at the end of a sword or peace gained at the end of a threat. It is not the peace of a victorious peace of a militant Messiah. It is not the peace of occupation and rebel control. This is a peace that is so different, so otherworldly, so far from our human understanding. This peace can only be called a revelation. Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume this Samaritan village? But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. Many of us are like James and John. Jesus affectionately called those brothers the sons of thunder. And you can see from this incident today why they got that nickname. Like James and John, many of us let revenge motivate our actions. We want to fight evil with evil. We want to get even. We might even think that this is right and the fair thing to do. But no matter how important that attitude is in our lives, it can't be more important than following Jesus. Jesus did not use fire and brimstone to get even. He didn't even use it to get people convinced to follow his way. Rather than rebuking the unwelcoming Samaritans, Jesus rebuked James and John for even suggesting a revenge or a retaliation. The Old Testament prophet Elijah had called down fire and brimstone on a village of the Samaritans. Would it have been so bad for the disciples of Jesus to have done the same? After all, they were rejecting Jesus. But that couldn't happen with Jesus. His mind set, his eyes set, his path set on a road to peace, not on a path or a road of revenge or retaliation. It couldn't happen. The Prince of Peace had to convince those sons of thunder and us as well that this is not the way of following Jesus. We are called to be on a different path. We need to learn, along with James and John, that violence does not bring the answer. Violence begets violence. Jesus came to break that cycle of violence by dying, by forgiving, rather than by killing and exacting vengeance. Vengeance is all too common in our lives. If a doctor makes a mistake, we immediately sue for malpractice. If we're involved in a car accident, we sue. Victims and family members often go to court on sentencing day just to make sure that the culprit gets their just desserts. We've heard stories and read news articles about road rage and the terrible things that happen with revenge for an impulse action. Some people might even are even convinced that the way that our legal structure is set up in such a way that vengeance is promoted. And we say, well, if it's legal, it's okay. If it's legal, it's right. There's so many more subtle forms of vengeance and retaliation in our life. I mean, one of the very first things that little kids learn is, well, she hit me first, I get to hit her back. And we're not any better as adults. Well, I'm not going to invite them. They didn't invite me. We have neighborhood associations that are formed just to protect us from our neighbors and from their actions. Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume this Samaritan village? But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. I was reading a scripture study this last week on vengeance, and the author, Pastor Scroggs, wrote that the root of vengeance is a false perception of ourselves as defective. This is an interesting twist on vengeance. That he says that it's the disease of inadequacy that fuels our desire for vengeance. Vengeance comes from within our broken hearts. We don't like what we have in ourselves, so we extract or exact that vengeance on someone else. The disciples wanted vengeance and revenge, but Jesus told them no and took them to another village. Let's look at that other village as the healing gift of God for our broken hearts. This other village is the amazing reality that we have a God of peace and love. God who loves all people, regardless of their failures, regardless of their achievements and accomplishments. Even before you do anything, God is there. Completely, with no strings attached, cradling you in those loving arms, bringing you in to that circle of love, even before you act or don't act. There's no good deed or no bad deed that can bring you closer to God's love because it's already there. God's love is already poured out for you. Completely, totally. And revenge and vengeance have no place in that. Each one of us, every one of us, is cradled in God's loving arms. This is the God that Jesus came to reveal. This is the God of peace and radical grace that Jesus wanted us to know. God has freed us from our bondage, has healed our broken hearts, freed us from our misconceptions of ourselves as inadequate, as less, and also freed us from our misconceptions about who God is. This is a God of peace. This is a God of love who wants us to be brought into this circle of love. This is a God who knows us as we are, worthy, acceptable, totally lovable. This is who you are, and this is who God wants you to know too, that you are worthy, acceptable, and totally lovable. What a great gift this is. What a great gift for those broken hearts that we have, those broken hearts that want vengeance on other people. God's grace doesn't make us perfect. God's grace makes us forgiven. God's grace frees us to be who God has called us to be. Imperfect, yes, but that gift of grace frees us to acknowledge and to live with our imperfections and frees us to allow others their imperfections as well. Now, one of the results of this atmosphere of vengeance that's so prevalent in our society today is the expectation that everyone be perfect. No one is permitted to make mistakes. We are absolutely demanding of others and of ourselves. But a person living in grace can accept the mistakes of others. The Christian is freed to accept others, freed from the need for vengeance, not out of weakness, but out of strength of self. That letter that from to the Galatians, Paul sums up what it means to be a person of strength. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Paul writes that list as a description of a person made powerful through the awareness of God's radical love that surrounds us, transforms us, and empowers us. We have the power to be the people that God has created in that grace of God. Vengeance and revenge are not virtues of the disciples of Jesus. What we are, as the followers and the believers of Jesus, what we are called to be are people who are filled with the certainty of God's love. So filled with that certainty of God's love that we don't feel it necessary to get even. We have been forgiven, and we ask God's help to forgive others. We are so loved by God that we can just go on to the next village and let God take care of those unwelcoming Samaritans. Through God's gift of grace, we can know ourselves as forgiven and let our broken hearts be filled with that desire for peace. Amen.